You know a lot about golf.
Well, we're waiting.
It is time for us. That's what that means. We are those weekend golf guys. I am John Ashton, top 100 teacher, golf magazine, par excellence, Jeff Smith. Just texted me and said, man, I just landed in Fort Myers. I had some plane backup. So like I've told our guest, he may or may not join us. He may just stop off and drink heavy before he gets all the way home, which is fine with us. Fine with us. Want to say hello to Corbin Cowan, who had a pretty good idea. At least I'm going to give him credit for it. He may have stolen it from somebody else, but as far as I'm concerned, that's fine. It's his and he's running with it. You need to look it up too. It is the Albatross Golf Society. And don't just do a search for Albatross Golf or you'll get a whole bunch of encyclopedic knowledge that you already know. So make sure it's Albatross Golf Society. But Corbin, welcome to those weekend golf guys, man. How you doing? How you doing?
Been great, man. This is it's an exciting time. We've got a lot of momentum going. So I'm just, I'm grateful to be on the show.
How long has this been a thing?
Well, we really launched this about 5 months ago officially, but we've been working on it for about a year.
Okay. Who is we? How many of you are there involved in this whole thing here?
So kind of, you know, give you the whole backstory. I really started this as a method to raise capital for a foundation that helps kids that are aging out of the foster system.
Okay.
And so that, you know, that kind of is the origin of the thought process. And I started to think about, you know, what's out there in the space. Cause you know, I don't know about you, but I get invited to like 100, you know, charity golf tournaments every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really know any good golfers that, really like to play in charity golf tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I, you know, I didn't want to do that. And, you know, and so I started to think about, you know, the American Century Classic came to mind, where you got, you know, all the celebrities come in and, you know, you got the, all the successful business guys pay tens of thousands of dollars to be there. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they get to go and bask in the glory of the celebrities and, you know, and not be on TV and, you know, they conveniently, shy away from that, you know, the business guys when they're filming the TV coverage, right?
Indeed.
And then, and so they do that for one day, typical scramble golf, and then the celebrities get to go play for the money. And I'm like, you know, I'm the target audience, right? I'm a successful business guy, and if I'm going to put the money up to, you know, to put this tournament on, I want to be playing for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. So I happen to know the gentleman that was part of the Celebrity Golf or the American Century Classic for 20 years.
Okay.
And he'd recently started the Celebrity Golf Association, Matt Haynes. And so I called Matt and I said, look, I've got this idea of, and, you know, putting on American Century, you know, classic type tournaments with great celebrities coming into play. But instead of them being the only ones playing for the money, I think we should start a community of guys that want to give back. They want to compete. But they also want to play for some money. And so that's kind of how it all came to be.
Cool. So let me make sure I understand. It's a typical golf charity scramble event, with the difference being that instead of a $100 gift certificate at the pro shop, if you happen to win, you're playing for some serious cash.
So the structure is that we do the 1 day typical celebrity golf scramble.
Okay.
Right. But our members of our community, that's their practice round. So they come and they play with the Celebrity Golf Association. You know, they play on the same golf course, as the 1 day charity scramble, but they're playing their practice round. So then the celebrities that want to go and compete for the purse stay for day two and day three, and it's a competitive round of golf.
Okay.
So everybody's playing their own ball, no gimmies. And I'll tell you about the first big event. It was great, but the you know, No gimmies. Everything's got to hit the bottom of the cup. And, you know, everybody's playing to their handicap. We've got a great format that kind of levels the playing field for everybody. Mm-hmm. And everybody's playing for the purse. And we have, you know, structured it in a way that everybody gets an opportunity to maintain their amateur status and play under the current rules of golf. You know, we can talk a little bit more about my opinion on amateur sports here.
We'll get into that. You betcha.
In a little bit. But that's kind of the format. So we do the big, you know, the big hurrah, the big celebrity day, mm-hmm. with, you know, local business guys and local people, sponsors that want to come and you know, get their brand in front of the celebrities and, you know, take pictures with the celebrities with their, you know, gadget or what they're, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And then we go compete for 2 days of competitive golf.
And is it only the celebrities and the compete, or can some of the amateurs?
No, so all of the members, okay. All of the amateurs that are part of Albatross Golf Society,
gotcha.
Are competing head to head against the celebrities.
Gotcha. Okay. That's cool. And drop a few names for me, if you would. Celebrities like
celebrities like Santonio Holmes and Andrew Jones and Jeremy Roenick and Urban Meyer and Pledge Rodriguez and Warwick Dunn is going to be at the next event. So guys like that. And you know, the list builds at our first big event. You know, we had Charles Woodson and Santonio Holmes and Marcus Allen and Eric Dickerson. And, I mean, you know, the list gets, you know, longer and longer. Yeah. And, you know, when I first came up with this concept, I mean, I didn't know how to access the celebrity, you know, pool of, you know, of talent, but that's why I reached out to my partner, Matt Haynes at the Celebrity Golf Association. And he's already got all these guys that are, you know, dying to play. And what I found is that all these athletes and celebrities, they really love to come out and compete. And so, you know, when we pitched this concept to a handful of them to see if they, you know, think it was a good idea, they liked it even more because it's more competition. It's, you know, it's fierce competition. It's bigger field, not just playing against celebrities, but, you know, the first event we had a plus one handicap, as a member of our community going head to head with Urban Meyer and it was a battle, you know? And so, it's been fun to see it develop.
It definitely. And it's been going and how many events do you have or have you had under your belt so far?
So we had kind of a few what I'll call beta test events.
Sure.
We had four or five of those to try to get the formula right because, you know, we're playing for, you know, the next event's going to have 50,000 in cash and prizes. So we wanted to make sure that that we had a platform that was fair, not just for the higher handicaps, but for the lower handicaps.
Mm-hmm.
And so, so our format is, you know, we're playing an accumulative modified Stableford point system, and you get 70% of whatever your handicap is.
Okay.
And so what that's done is it's kind of flattened the field a little bit because, you know, obviously 70%, you know, of a plus 0.1, a plus 0.5 or a plus one, there's a lot less differential between 70% of a 14, right?
Yeah.
But since we, in our test events, we had a plus two win, we had an eight handicap win, a 12 and a 14. And
wow,
so,
okay.
And then in the last event, which was really the first major, which was Santonio Holmes and Charles Woodson's event at the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
We had Urban Meyer was the leader in the clubhouse, and he was, you know, he's about an eight handicap, you know, and he edged out the plus one by 1 point.
Whoa.
And so, you know, we had both ends of the spectrum, you know, going down to the wire, you know, and it turned out to be, you know, just couldn't have scripted the first event better. It was great.
When you're dealing with celebrities, you're dealing with lots of egos, and you're playing golf. All of these celebrities, if they're athletes, have come from games that are refereed. Do you have any problems with them calling penalties upon themselves?
You know, not yet. Okay. I'm sure, you know, I'm sure we're going to face that kind of stuff. Right. But we have a USGA rules official at the events.
Okay.
We go over the rules with everybody. Everybody signs that and attests that to the rules. You know, if you scrape a putt, it's an automatic net double bogey. Mm. So it's, it, you know, it starts to get real for some of these guys. Right. But most of the time, you know, we've got competitive guys that for the most part know the rules of golf.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in it to win the money too. So they're not going to just, you know, let a celebrity slide by just because, you
that's
know
who they are. Yeah,
he won a Super Bowl or something.
Yeah, right.
Right.
What have you done lately, buddy? Come on, man.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Gotcha.
And so, I think that having the access to the rules official and also just, you know, having guys that know how to play by the rules is key.
Our guest is Corbin Cowan, and he is from the Albatross Golf Society. Actually, he is the Albatross Golf Society. And I know you're probably asking, well, when do you play? Where do you play? And how much does this cost? Because it sounds really cool. And we will ask all those questions and more when we come right back. You want to hang out? We are those Weekend Golf Guys. Don't you go away. We are back, those Weekend Golf Guys. I'm John Ashton. Yes, Jeff has opted to drink heavily because he had a rough day of commuting back to Florida. So we'll let him slide this week. Corbin Cowan is our guest, Albatross Golf Society. One of the questions that people have been screaming in my ear is, where do you play these things and when?
So we have two style of events. Before we go too long, I want to make sure everybody gets that. It's albatrossgolf.org is the website.
Okay.
And you know, you can check out all of our events. They're all on there. But we have two style of events. We have what's called the majors, which is kind of that big celebrity blowout where we're going to have 18, 20, 25 celebrities at these events.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be, you know, 3.5 days, you know, the pairings party, the night before the celebrity scramble,
right?
The celebrity scramble, and then followed by the 2 days of competition, and we consider that to be a major, right? We're getting sponsors, we're reaching out to the local business community and getting people to sponsor holes and do the whole, you know, the whole deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then we also have what we call our boondoggles, which is a lesser produced event. Still highly competitive.
Right.
Those will be either 2 or 3 days. So we'll either come in, no practice round, just everybody goes out and tease it up for competition day one. And we'll have, 2 days of competitive golf, or we'll do a practice round followed by 2 days.
Right.
We'll have 4 or 5 celebrities that are competing in those. We're not, the majors are televised, you know, so we've got TV cameras and everything out there, shooting a show with Jimmy Hanlon, who I'm sure, you know,
mm-hmm.
Those shows will be on, you know, Fox Sports or Bally's or whatever. So the boondoggles are more, you know, kind of lower key, but still, you know, great party atmosphere, great networking. And every single event, whether we're doing a practice round or a 1 day event or the big majors, every event is raising money for the foundation. So we don't do any events where money is not raised to support, one of the causes that we're working with.
Since you brought that up, let's take a little aside and talk about that a little more in depth. Do you still do it exclusively for children aging out of the foster system, or have you gotten more people that benefit?
So I expanded that vision a little bit from just kids that are aging out of the foster system to at-risk youth in general, right?
Okay.
So, it doesn't really matter if you're, if you aged out of the home, the foster system, if you're, 19 years old and homeless on the street with nobody to turn to, right? So, we are heavily focused on organizations that that help that demographic of our population. As we expand, we will do. We're anticipating doing an event with Warwick Dunn, and so we'll share in the proceeds with Warwick's foundation, and his cause. When we did the Super Bowl event, Charles Woodson and Santonio Holmes, they both happen to have organizations that focus on, the youth and the underprivileged kids. And so it works, really well. But, as we build and scale, there will be lots of different worthy causes that we support.
That's very cool. I mean, one person once told me that if you really want to do something nice for children aging out of the foster system or even in the foster system, donate suitcases.
Yeah.
Because they just throw everything they own into a plastic bag whenever they move from one place to another.
Yeah. 23,000 kids a year turn 18 in the foster system. Wow. And they give them $150 in that plastic trash bag for their clothes.
Yeah.
And
that's kind of dehumanizing, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, here we give, undocumented illegal immigrants tens of thousands of dollars a month, but we can't help these kids transition into a successful life beyond foster care. So, that's where my personal mission and focus is. But ultimately, as long as we're doing good, and we're, helping organizations that where that the money actually gets to where we're going, what we're supporting, then that's the important part.
I do a co-host on a second podcast called The Approach Shot, which basically interviews former athletes who are into golf. And we have found that most of them love playing in events like yours.
Right.
Also, most of them have their own foundations.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's got to be myriad ways of disseminating money raised by this organization to various and sundry causes all over the country, man.
Yeah. And, most of our celebrities that come into play, they're playing for their foundation. So if they win the purse, at least, 50% of the purse is going to go to their foundation. Right.
Right.
So we actually give them, some options to, play 100% for their foundation or 50-50 for ours or if they want to play some for themselves and then that's fine too. So, it's working out to be a great opportunity for, the celebrities. I mean, Urban Meyer, our first winner took money home for the Urban and Shelley Meyer Foundation. So it was great.
And didn't have to hang out with all the coaches that gather prior to the national championship there.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes that's not a very great thing to do. But this is kind of a personal question. When you invite the celebrities, are they fine with getting to play for a chance to get money for their foundations, or do you have to guarantee them money to show up?
No, we're not. We don't pay appearance fees.
Okay.
At the majors, we'll bring some of them in. And they usually, they don't have to pay for their golf and that sort of thing. So we give them the white glove royal treatment that that they expect.
And some demand. Yes, indeed.
On the Boondoggles, we'll bring in, local celebrities that, don't require, a lot of housing and stuff. And they want to come play for the purse. And so, You know, we don't guarantee them that they're going to walk out with money for sure.
That's cool.
That's one of the things I wanted to, you know, I wanted to do stuff that is different. You know, I don't want a bunch of celebrities coming into our community to try to you know, just make money off of us. I want them to come into the community because they want to compete and they want to help the causes and they want to support us.
You want to become part of the community, basically, is what you
exactly. And I think some of them, you know, appreciate the fact, especially on like our Boondoggles, that, you know, they're coming in and they're just one of the guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, they're going to take some pictures with our members and that kind of stuff. But, you know, they're not having to give tons of interviews and do a lot of things. They're coming to play golf and compete just like, you know, the successful entrepreneur is.
We've had a lot, like I said, on that other podcast, we've had a lot of pro athletes retired who basically tell us that when they play in these scrambles, they will tell their team right off the bat that I'm here for fun. Maybe drink a little bit. We're going to tell some stories. We're going to have some fun. Yeah. That's it. You know, that's why they.
Yeah. And those are the guys that we want as part, those are the celebrities that we want as part of the community. Right.
Yeah.
We want the ones that are social, that are excited to be there, that are telling stories, that are you know, hanging out with the guys and enjoying the atmosphere that we've created.
Exactly.
And that are excited to be part of giving back.
Yeah, because when, you know, Joe Bag of Donuts walks away from 18 holes, he wants to be able to say that this guy I played golf with is a friend of mine now.
Right.
You know, he's a great guy. We had a good time and I really like him and he's a friend of mine. And I mean, that is worth, whether you win or not, that's worth it to spend, you know, 5.5, 6 hours on a golf course with somebody that you can walk away having known of before you got there, but now knowing when you leave.
Right.
So
absolutely.
That's a great time to do that. Corbin Cowan is our guest. It is the Albatross Golf Society and it is albatrossgolf.org or albatross.org.
albatrossgolf.org.
And real quick, just before we take a quick break, you kept saying in one of them they had a $50,000 total purse. What's first place get?
The purse at the next event is total 20 grand.
Okay.
And so it you know, it's broken up between first and second.
Okay.
And then there's, you know, there's day money prizes. There's low non-member, and then we'll get creative and have club pros in them and play, you know, do the low club pro. But the next event, you know, day money purses, the total purse. So,
cool. Okay. We have many more questions and we're going to get to them when we come right back. Hang out. We are Those Weekend Golf Guys. Don't you move. We've got a fun group for you to hang out with on Facebook. It's facebook.com, League of Extraordinarily Average Golfers. And we are back, as I promised. John Ashton here, Those Weekend Golf Guys. Golf Magazine Top 100 instructor Jeff Smith had a bad day at the airport. Man, they got to get their stuff together, these airlines here, man. I don't know what's going on, but another day of delays and trials and tribulations, so a few stiff drinks for Jeff before he retires for the evening, and that is fine. But our guest here, Corbin Cowan, with the Albatross Golf Society, albatrossgolf.org. And you mentioned members and non-members, so let's get into that at the moment. What constitutes membership? How do you join? Who do you have to be? And all that kind of good stuff.
So kind of launched this whole concept with just, you know, personal invitations, you know, people that I knew and, you know, we got Josh Booty, former LSU quarterback and Major League Baseball player and NFL football player on board real early. And he invited a bunch of friends. And so it was very much you know, an invite only, opportunity.
Sure.
To become a founder of, the Albatross Golf Society. And so we kind of slowly grew that list to about 35 founders over the last several months. And then we just closed that that round, if you will, or that club. And we've come out with a two-tiered membership structure. So it's still application only. And our Boondoggle events, and really for the next probably year or two, the method that we want to grow this membership is by having people experience it. So you'll be invited to come to one of our events. Typically, the all-in entry fee for hotel, golf, purse, food and beverage, all that is about $4,000, and you know, everything but airfare, right? So once you land, we pick you up, we take you to the hotel, we transfer you back and forth to the golf course, the whole deal. The best way, as opposed to me doing, you know, some, you know, webinars and having pitches and all that kind of stuff, is really just inviting people to come out and experience it. Mm-hmm. What was really interesting is we just had the really our first big event at the Super Bowl with Charles Woodson and San Antonio Holmes. And, you know, we had, you know, 15, 20 of the guys that started, you know, with us and kind of bought in early and saw the vision a little bit. Almost all of them said, you know, Corbin, I kind of saw what you were doing and it sounded cool and I wanted to be part of it. And so I joined, but man, this was way better than even what I expected. Right. So once they experience it, mm-hmm. it just becomes so much more exciting and fun to be part of. So that's kind of the model that we're going out moving forward is, you know, we've got our events. You know, you can apply for an invitation, and we'll get you into an event to experience what we're doing. And at that event, you know, there's a couple of different, you know, options for you to, you know, participate in the future. At some point, you know, we'll have, you know, almost all the events will be members only, but, you know, as we're growing and, you know, the word's getting out, we want everybody to experience it. And, it's funny. The first event when I created this concept in my mind, you know, I was always coming down 18 in the lead, you know, against, you know, a former great, you know, celebrity, professional athlete, whatever. In my mm-hmm. mind, it was Tony Romo or you know, one of these guys and or Jeremy Roenick, right? The first event had Urban Meyer and one of our members coming down, and they were actually in the first group. It came down to 18th hole, and the plus one handicap needed to make a 15 footer to tie. He just missed it, you know, tapped in and one behind Urban Meyer, was the leader in the clubhouse. And then I kind of came up and I needed birdie 18 in order to tie. And I ended up hitting it in the water and
there goes that birdie.
That wasn't the scenario that I had in my mind, but so then one of our other members coming up in the last group hits it in the greenside bunker, and you know, we're all surrounded the green and somebody yells out, "Hey, you get up and down, you win." Whoa. And so
no pressure though.
he kind of chunks it out of the bunker and he's got about 10 or 15 feet. He misses just under the hole. And so we all think because the live scoring is not quite updated, you know, we're all assuming that he's got to tap into tie, and he goes in, he's got 10 inch putt and goes up, doesn't go through his routine, just goes in, taps it, hits the lip and lips out.
Oh.
So everybody around the green goes nuts, and turns out that tap in was actually for the outright win because the live scoring hadn't updated, and so we were all assuming, you know, wrong, but it was great. I mean, afterwards, you know, he said, "Man, when someone told me that I had to get up and down to win," he's like, "my knees started shaking."
Yeah,
you know, yeah. it's. You know, it's one thing to be out there, you know, playing with your guys for, you know, a couple hundred bucks, but when there's 15 grand on the line and you got to make a 10-foot putt, you know, it gets well, real, and the nerves are real and the adrenaline's pumping.
That's it,
that's,
man.
Part of the excitement.
That's one of the things that we tell people over and over again on the show is like, don't count up your score after like you walk off 16. You know, the whole, hey, if I just par 17 and 18, I can break 80. No, you'll be shooting a 96. Okay. Totally. Don't be concerned with the score. Don't do that to people, man. That was mean.
It turned out, you know, that moment kind of electrified everybody. Mm-hmm. And everybody kind of got to, you know, even everybody that was out of it got to feel the adrenaline and the emotion of that moment and what that could be moving forward, as we have, you know, 50 and 100 guys in the event instead of 20.
Yeah. And the ability to play at the same format and maybe even at some of the same courses that the pros play at, that you've seen and you've watched. I mean, you can become a little kid again. You know, when we play baseball, we didn't just play baseball. We were our favorite baseball player.
Right.
And you can do the same thing playing golf in the format you've got. You can just put yourself into that whole scenario and suddenly you're doing more than just playing a round of golf.
Right. So,
and like you said, I'm sure a lot of people walk off after the first time they do it and they go, man, this was damn cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's why we want everybody to experience it before they join or, you know, before they apply or whatever. So
Do you have any problem with courses giving you 3 days?
Not yet. Okay. You know, we've got some great courses solidified. The next event is at Atlanta Country Club.
Okay.
You know, it's what we call a small, you know, smaller event, the boondoggle, if you will. And you know, we've got it for 2 days, but we're not taking up the whole golf course. So the plan is that once we get to the point where we're big enough to where it might be an issue, the energy and the excitement around us is going to be big enough to where, you know, we can get some pretty awesome golf courses.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think anybody would actually have the gall to say, yeah, no, I don't want to be part of raising money for a bunch of good causes. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would kind of do it. But Atlanta Country Club, can you give us a few of the other courses you've got either on tap or already solidified for the future?
So our summer event is going to be in August, right before the BMW Classic at Flying Horse Club in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
Which is got two fantastic golf courses. We've got Dorado Beach, Puerto Rico in November. We've got Warwick Dunn's event in June in Atlanta as well. And I can't remember what the golf course is on that. We just got that.
There were a few good ones down in Atlanta. I lived there for 10 years, played some good golf and some great places. Of course, you know, Atlanta Country Club would lock the doors when I drove by, but that's
true. We'll have another event at Calusa Pines in Florida, which is a very exclusive club.
Mm-hmm.
We had one of our beta events there. You know, until we get to the point where we're needing two golf courses and
yeah, three days at the Monterey Peninsula on all three courses. Yeah,
right.
It's coming. I can feel it. Corbin Cowan, who's with Albatross Golf Network at albatrossgolf.org. And we are those Weekend Golf Guys, and we're coming right back. Stick around. Well, of course, we have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/golfguys. Go there and follow us. Like us, please. And thanks for hanging. We are those Weekend Golf Guys. I am John Ashton, Jeff Smith, Golf Magazine Top 100 teacher. Not imparting any wisdom today because he's had a bad day. And, you know, everybody needs a mental health day every now and again. Corbin Cowan is our guest, Albatross Golf Society. Do you want to get into the nuts and bolts? If somebody said, you know, Corbin, this is such a great idea, I need to explore it further, what do they do?
I mean, they can go to our website, albatrossgolf.org, and there's a form that they can get in contact with us. They can certainly reach out directly to me, Corbin, Corbin, at albatrossgolf.org. And, you've been around startups. I'm the chief marketing officer, the chief executive officer, the chief bottle washer, and everything in between right now, right?
It's the janitor, too. Yes. Gotcha.
So, I would most likely, connect with them directly, and just set up a time to chat and learn a little bit about each other and see if they've got room in their schedule to attend one of our upcoming events that we've got on the calendar.
And I know it's a really short notice, man, but the PGA Championship is here in Louisville in May. Got some good golf courses here. You might want to.
Yeah, Louisville's got some nice places. We do have, some really cool things in the works. Not so much with the PGA, but with some of the LIV Golf guys, after their events, we're going to be holding kind of private experiences where, mm-hmm. We hold an event for 8 to 10 to 12 of our members and the day after one of their events at the same golf course from the same tee boxes and things like that. And we've got also a lot of, opportunities for just social, experiences. We've got a day at the Masters, mm-hmm. hopping on a private plane out of Sarasota, Florida and coming up to the Masters and spending the day at the Masters and going out to dinner and stuff sure. like that. So, a lot of things in the pipeline, as we continue to grow and develop. We're building out a communication platform where all of our members can communicate with each other and if you happen to be in an area where there's a member and you want to, see if you get around to golf together, then all those tools will be available to our guys to reach out and network. Cause, as much of the purpose is, competing and giving back, but it's also networking. We're building a phenomenal network of really great individuals that are, successful in business and also are like-minded in the sense that they're looking for opportunities to give back. And that's, mm-hmm. that's who we hope to attract. We want the guys that are still excited about developing a relationship with somebody at a Calusa Pines or a Flying Horse or a Broadmoor or Cherry Hills or whatever.
Exactly. Now you had mentioned earlier, and let's take, the few moments we have together yet tonight, you're talking about your not only desire to find people to give back and your own personal desire to give back to specific causes, but an ability to, if you pardon the expression, because it's such a trite phrase and overused, but to grow the game, to build more golfers, maybe more serious golfers, in a way that a lot of the official organizations that supposedly protect this game don't do.
Well, that one of the things that, my personal view on amateur sports is that they're dead. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, the NIL ruling, with the NCAA, it's completely eliminated amateur sports. Yeah. And so right now you've got a bunch of guys at the governing bodies of golf that are trying to guard the game and, tell amateurs that if you win more than $1,000, then you're now a professional golfer. Mm-hmm. Well, my viewpoint is that your amateur status is no longer going to be based upon whether or not you win money on the golf course. It's going to be about your skill level. Yeah. if you're at a certain skill level, and you can go out on the web.com tour or the DP World Tour or the mm-hmm. Asian Tour or what any of those other tours or the LIV Tour, then you'll be deemed a professional. Otherwise, you're an amateur. I don't care whether you get a $15,000 check at the end of my tournament or not. You're still an amateur.
Yeah.
And so we're pushing the boundaries on that a little bit, but we're also giving everybody, the option, to play for a foundation or a charity so that they protect their amateur status. And, mm-hmm. and there's some other rules that we can follow technically that will protect their amateur status. That excitement and that experience that our guys had at that first event doesn't exist anywhere else out there.
Nope.
And that is going to bring people into the game. It's going to bring people to these events that are maybe craving a little bit something more. And that is then going to create a ripple effect of guys that, maybe they start working on the game a little bit more. I know I have, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of just being a weekend golf guy, maybe they're out there a couple of days a week during the week hitting balls.
I'll just put it out there, even though he's not here to speak for himself. If you want to hone it, Jeff Smith, golfinstruction.com, man. The dude is phenomenal, and he can get you better no matter where you're starting from. Okay. So I'm just throwing that out there for him. But yeah, I mean, that's another thing.
I can't wait to get Jeff out to one of our events too, maybe doing a clinic, but after the event, that where guys can stay and they can work on their short game, or they can work on their 8 to 10 inch putts,
That's one thing, Jeff. He'll ask you when you first meet with Jeff, and you have a problem. Listen, in most people, putting is the big thing. It's 40% of the game. And the first question he'll ask you is, how long is your second putt? Because that's can you read a green? Can you read the speed? Can you get it close? You don't have to put it in, but if you got it close, then you got it made, man. You can two putt every green, or not three putt any. How many strokes do you think you're going to save in a round?
Well, for me, 5 or 6.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe more. You never can tell, man. It depends on the kind of day you're having. But what you're doing, man, is just, it's phenomenal. Again, because the format is the same. You can become a kid again in as much as you're playing a game, but you're playing the game as the professionals play it.
Yeah.
And you're just having a good time. You're playing with celebrities, you're playing with people that you would like to get to know, may or may not be good golfers. Who cares? Because that's the whole idea of playing golf, man. It's just playing for fun.
Yeah. And I want to reiterate that this is not just a place for great golfers.
No.
We have guys ranging from +2 to 18 handicaps.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all having fun on the golf course. And, and some of them are learning a lot more about the game than they realize that they didn't know,
Imagine a lot of the high handicappers have probably been playing what we refer to as sort of golf for a while,
Exactly.
Kind of ignoring a few. I mean, we've been trying to get the USGA to agree to a new rule. We say, $4 is enough of a penalty for a lost ball. We shouldn't have to take a stroke too, come on, man. But so far, they're not behind us on that one at all.
$4. I don't know where you're getting your golf balls.
I'll let you in on a secret when we get off the air. And I think, invite Jeff Allen. He'll bring in those golf balls that are as good as Pro V1s, but a lot less expensive.
There we go.
They're made in Buffalo. That's why he uses them. So anyhow.
Well, we got a great deal done with LA Golf. A lot of all of our new members, get a shaft, driver shaft or a putter shaft from LA Golf.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you've played their balls, but I'm convinced it's the best ball in golf. Okay. I didn't believe it until I played it, but, it's a great partnership that we've got going with them. And, they've got that Bryson shafts and the DJ shafts and it's exciting to be part of a great brand like LA Golf and bringing them into the community as well.
I just need a shaft that with a 70 mile an hour swing speed will get me the results of a Bryson or a DJ. Oh, well, I'll keep dreaming. Corbin Cowan, I appreciate you spending time with us here on Those Weekend Golf Guys, man. And again, it is Albatross Golf Society, albatrossgolf.org. Check it out. It sounds like a hell of a lot of fun. You know, you're giving back a bunch of great causes, meeting some great people, and, you know, having a good time.
Corbin. John, thanks for having me. It's been great to be on.
Great to have you, man. And good luck in the future. And we'll be talking to you again.